NFFers. I am your host, Internet Keith, and welcome to the NFL edition of Football and Other F Words. And today, we'll be talking about NFL news. We'll have a segment that we're going to call Trick or Treat Players for Halloween. That
we're
was
so festive.
I just love it because it's going to be in November.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we'll also talk, we'll distribute some mid-year rewards.
Well, we're not rewarding anybody.
No.
We're awarding.
We could send them something in the mail. That would be a reward.
We should. We should send them like a certificate from us in the mail.
F Words Pod midseason.
I'm gonna get on that.
Yes.
I'm gonna get on that.
Please.
In addition to like sending the nominees out there. They're like, sorry you didn't win, but you were nominated. Congratulations.
Very close. It was a very close vote.
Yes. I'm gonna give Calvin, because three of us chose Calvin Ridley for Offensive Rookie of the Year for the quarterway. I'll make sure that he gets three separate ones.
Yes.
Y'all have to sign them.
Three identical letters signed by different people.
Can we all sign in different color, like magic marker?
Yes.
Like
crayons.
Crayons. Yeah. With our left hands. As is tradition, today I'm joined by some hooligans. Once again, we are a bit shorthanded. We've got Zeebo and Mike Miracles here. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Yeah.
I have you?
I'm fine. I never get asked. That's so considerate of you, actually.
Well, you know.
That's nice of you.
Happy birthday, bro.
Oh, thank you. Well,
those are your birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, today? Like today when we're recording?
Today when this goes out.
When it goes out.
November 1st?
Yeah.
From the future.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Well, thanks, dude.
But not today.
Right.
And not tomorrow.
But in the future.
In the future.
But when the listener is listening to it, happy birthday.
Well, now that everyone's confused. let me ask you guys a fun trivia question since the trade deadline just passed.
Is this Big Mike, Dirty Ooh. Mike versus the boys?
This is Dirty Ooh. Mike and the boys versus me, I would say.
Okay. All
right. So five NFL head coaches have been traded. Can you name them?
Oh, all five?
Have been traded for draft picks or other considerations.
All right, so I know Gruden.
Yeah,
has been.
I was about to say, that's the only one that I think I know.
Gruden.
It's one.
John Madden get traded?
Nope.
No.
About Chuck Knoll?
No. I'll give you a hint. Two of these guys were traded between the Jets and the Patriots.
Oh, was Belichick traded?
Yes.
It was Parcells traded?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
That's why I'm the reigning Dirty Mike versus the boys champion.
Uh-huh.
See how quick I got that?
Yeah, on Mike. It. Quickness. The other two were Mike Holmgren, the Walrus.
The original Walrus.
Yes.
Who did he get traded
he
from
was
the Packers?
Traded from the Packers
to
the Seahawks in 99.
Oh,
that's right.
Wow.
And then he was the second one to have that happen. It was Parcells first and then him. Then Belichick, then Gruden, and then the last one was in 2006. He was traded from the Jets to the Chiefs.
Jets to the Chiefs. That would Dick Vermeil?
No, Herm Edwards.
Herm Edwards.
He got traded?
Yep.
What was I thinking Dick Vermeil?
I don't know.
Just got dick on the mind.
Always.
That happens.
You know what I'm saying?
Loves his dick meals.
As always, today's podcast is brought to you by an F word, and today's F word is Dick Vermeil.
Dick Vermeil.
Well, actually, the actual word is frightful, as in we hope you had a frightfully happy Halloween.
We really stretched the imagination of the F words from pod to pod.
Right. Keith is like, let's move on quickly.
Maybe they didn't notice.
I like how uncomfortably you're sitting into your chair right now.
Yes.
He's now perched on the top of his chair.
Maybe they didn't notice that it was the exact same one from the last podcast. And you just
changed the tense in which you said it.
Yeah.
It's present tense and then past tense.
Yeah. I'm really good. I'm really deceptive.
Really, really good.
Huxley, drunk as fuck.
Wasted.
Let's move into the trade deadline news.
So much happened in the last hour, too.
Yeah. It was just like...
It's been great since they moved it back 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was wild.
Yeah.
Wild.
Let's start with... I guess we'll start with Demaryius Thomas, who was traded to the Texans. Demaryius and a 7th-round pick was traded to the Texans for a 4th-round pick.
So, what I want to talk about on this trade, How did the seventh round pick swap end up getting into the mix?
Like, why did you need that seventh round pick from the Broncos?
And it had to have been the Texans that asked for it, right?
Like, hey, can you give us that seventh round pick? And they're probably like, no, not without getting a seventh round pick back.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were probably like, all right, so we don't want to trade. We don't want to do a fifth. Or the Broncos didn't want to take a fifth, but the Texans were probably like, well, fourth is a little rich. What if we swap picks in the seventh? Why?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, congrats. You moved up like 20 spots in the seventh round.
You're getting a guy that's going to get cut instead of getting a guy that's going to get cut. So.
It's like one of those fantasy league trades where someone trades like Keelan Cole for D.D. Westbrook, and you're like, why?
Yeah,
or like when you have a tag on the end of a trade, but it's like both those guys are gonna get dropped like immediately at the end of this. It's like, well, why did y'all just trade guys that are gonna get dropped?
Yeah, it's like you added Raheem Mostert to a trade for some reason.
Yes, yeah, but while also giving back like Taywan Taylor or something. Like, yeah. Why?
Yeah, this helps no one. This just confuses people.
I thought the fourth was a little rich for Demaryius.
Yeah, he has not looked good to me.
Well, I think it ties back to the Amari Cooper trade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people say, well, it's not going to play into it. Well, a fourth is not a proper round tender for Demaryius. So that obviously played into it a little bit.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that's the receiver they really need. Like, I feel like...
I don't either.
They needed... And same with the Golden Tate trade that we'll get to in a minute. That... Seems like they already had a receiver somewhat like this one and not what they lost. They both lost deep threats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because Mike Wallace was deep threat for the Eagles, and then Will Fuller was deep threat here. But
Which makes it interesting that DeSean Jackson didn't move this.
Yeah, yeah. I think the Bucs
just shut it down.
I think that's only because they're riding with Fitzmagic. I don't buy this thing
Let me ask you this. Do you think they were asking for way too much because of the Cooper trade?
Just don't think they're going to trade him now that Fitzmagic's back. Okay. Winston and Fitzmagic, and we'll get into it later, they're two different quarterbacks that can utilize the deep ball differently.
Mm-hmm.
And Watson utilizes the deep ball very well, in my opinion.
Yeah, but we'll get to that later.
I'm not sure why Demaryius is what was the fourth round pick, but I think it's just because there wasn't a lot of wide receivers out in the market, too, so that helps.
It would have been tough for them to sit Pat, too. Because, I mean, all they had was Kiki Kuti, who's rookie.
Which is the best name to say. Kiki Kuti.
Yes, it makes you smile every time. Like, you can't
say... It's like Bugaboo.
Say Kiki Kuti out loud right now and don't smile. You can't. Yeah. You can't.
I am very happy on the trade from a fantasy football standpoint because I traded for Demaryius Thomas this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And in hopes that he was going to go to the Texans or the Patriots, not the Titans. I did not want him to go to the Titans. Because if he went to the Titans, I feel like, okay, we got Corey Davis, and then we have Corey Davis's granddad.
Yeah.
And so it would have been nothing for me. It would have done nothing for me.
Yeah.
I do think he's not the player he once was, first. Sure. And he's definitely got drop issues. I think, behind Crabtree for the most drops in the NFL since 2015. He has 6 this year already, which is, I think, maybe 3 times as many as any Titans receiver has. So as much as we complain about drops, it's way more. It's at least double what any Titans receiver has on the year. But he still can do stuff. I mean, he's still he uses his body well. He's a tough guy after the catch, that kind of thing. But I do think there's a lot of duplication with Demaryius Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think, or not, I'm sorry, DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah. So I think there's a little bit of duplication of skill sets there. They definitely lose the deep threat element of that. I mean, Hopkins and him can do it to some extent, but they're more jump ball guys than
speed
guys.
They're not burners.
Yeah. So it's a different setup.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's an upgrade, but was it worth the price? I guess that's the question.
I mean, if you're in win now mode, anything's worth the price.
True.
Yeah.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
If it gets them into the playoffs and they're able to make some noise in the playoffs, then I think it'll prove to be worth it. But I will say this, his contract is atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be shocked if the Texans are either going to restructure him after this year or cut him, one of the two. So, there's no way he's coming back on that $14 million or whatever.
And,
for
the, and the thing is, he's really not asked to be the man in this offense. DeAndre Hopkins, you could see a totally different Demaryius Thomas than what you saw in the Broncos.
Yeah,
with and they do have better quarterback.
Yeah, as well. The quarterback upgrade.
And this might have been a product of the bad quarterback and the bad offense in Denver, but he gives up on routes way too much. He's similar to Amari Cooper.
I just don't know if he was very happy.
Yeah, and that might be part of it. And situation can fix a lot of things, but that's one of those things that drives me insane.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the Lions trade with the Eagles. The Lions traded Golden Tate to the Eagles for a third round pick next year.
Fuck the Eagles.
Right?
I mean, just fuck them. I am so sick of the Eagles just, oh, a wide receiver became available. Better spend about $15 million or $40 million. Let me get Alshon Jeffrey. Oh, let me get Golden Tate. Mike Wallace, Torrey Smith, Nelson Aguilar. Fuck them. I'm fucking sick of the Eagles already. I'm so glad they beat the Patriots last year, but I'm tired of them. I'm tired of them. Fuck the Eagles.
This is one of the,
I'm on record.
This is one of the weirdest trades of the day to me because you rarely see the Lions are a contending team. I mean, they're 3-4, but they're only like a game and a half out of the division lead in the AFC North, and they're selling off, you know, regardless of, you know, Galladay and Marvin Jones, who are both, you know, very good receivers. They run 11 personnel like 80-something percent of the time, and Tate's on the field a lot of that time.
He's getting touches.
Still probably their best receiver. I mean, Galladay's getting there, and he's certainly a major
Marvin
talent.
Jones is very inconsistent. Like, I really thought he would be the one that they would move.
Yeah, and they may not have. I mean, I guess the idea behind moving Tate is probably, well, he's on an expiring contract. We've got, you know, pretty good receivers already. We can move him. You know, getting a third-round pick for an expiring guy. That's
pretty good.
That's pretty good, yeah. And that's I'm sure that's why they did that. But and maybe they are saying, you know, well, the writing's on the wall. We're probably not winning the Super Bowl this year. We're going to get a piece for next year and try to kind of continue to rebuild this thing under Patricia. But, it's kind of an interesting move, especially after they added Snacks Harrison, you know, a week earlier for a fifth-round pick. So it's like they added, but then they traded. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of an odd
Golden Snacks.
Yeah, and in a lackluster NFC East, the Eagles are starting to catch their stride at the correct time.
They're
and
going
it's
to win
just,
that division.
Yeah. I mean, it's just I'm fucking miserable.
Yeah.
I am miserable. Keith.
It's weird. Do you
look at me. I am miserable.
You appear miserable.
Yeah.
do you think that this is a weird trade for the Eagles in that I might be talking out of my league here, but isn't Nelson Aguilar a slot guy?
That's my thing, and that was my thing kind of about the Titans thing too, because Tajae Sharpe's been playing really good in the slot. But that's on the previous podcast. Please go subscribe and listen to it. But that was my thing is that he doesn't really – where does he fit? Are you going to rely – who are you going to put on the outside? Are you going four wide? I don't know about that trade, but it is definitely a win now. Hey, we know that the NFC East is open. We're about to hit our stride. We're about to get Carson Wentz into a groove. We got to keep him in a groove.
Mm-hmm.
This is a win now kind of thing, and it's just I don't want them to win. I hope they lose.
I think Tate can play outside. I think you'll probably if I was the Eagles, I would be running a ton of 12 personnel and having Ertz, Goddard, Jeffrey, and Tate on the field as your pass-catching option, then whoever in the backfield, doesn't really matter. But that would be kind of my base offense, and then, you know, bring in Aguilar and stick him in the slot or move Tate in the slot, whoever, based on matchups.
Even if you do a bunch of three wide receiver bunches, I mean, think of all the bunch formations you can do with two slot guys and those two big tight ends.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to guard. The tight ends are amazing, and it's almost impossible to guard this offense. If they can find a real solution in the run game, and hopefully that's relying on Corey Clement for selfish reasons, because I am an idiot who traded a third-round pick for Corey Clement.
Thank you.
So I'm hoping that you know, they find a run game, but I mean, it's just a dangerous offense. And I mean,
yeah, and I think Doug Peterson's the kind of coach who can figure it out.
Fuck, so, fuck the Eagles.
Let's move on to a wide receiver running back combo who got moved to the Ravens. Ty Montgomery of fumbling away the game fame last week.
He
can we talk about what he did for a minute?
I mean, what a jackass. You're Ty Montgomery. Mm-hmm. You're not Le'Veon Bell. You're not Zeke Elliott. You should not be mad about your usage in an Aaron Rodgers offense because you're not fucking that great.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. You're a failed wide receiver converted into a running back that became one of the most mediocre, overhyped running backs of 2017, and you fell flat on your fucking face. They put you in, and all you have to do is kneel and give the ball to fucking Aaron Rodgers to win this game for your team. And what do? You do the exact opposite and fuck up your whole team. And that loss is going to come back to haunt him. And now he's going to the fucking Ravens. And I hope he does the same fucking thing to them. What do you go for, like a 7th round pick?
It was a 7. So it was basically a throwaway.
Yeah. But in 2020, none. Also,
yeah, yeah, so, just as far out as they can possibly.
So basically,
trade it.
A bag of peanuts.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, if we could give him to you for free, we would have. But, yeah, no, what a dick move! Like the coaches tell him to just take a knee, and he goes out there and is like, nah, fuck you, I'm gonna do my own thing because I'm Ty Montgomery.
Yeah, fucking world star, and then he runs out the fucking end zone and fumbles it.
I carry the Packers.
Yeah,
come on. Get real. Get real, Ty.
I mean,
do you see any scenario where he is producing for the Ravens?
Well, someone said that he's going to replace Danny Woodhead and what Danny Woodhead was supposed to be in the offense.
Wasn't Buck
Allen?
Yeah,
that's what I was about to say.
Buck Allen.
Once again, another trade where you already have what's on the roster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
understand what Ty Montgomery's going to do, except for maybe murder someone in Baltimore. Maybe that's what he's going to do, because he's such an asshole. He's probably not going to like his usage here.
Well, you know, the murder rate went down when Ray Lewis was playing there, apparently. So now that Ray Lewis isn't playing, it's probably back on the rise. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Ty Montgomery.
That is definitely a correlation.
Direct correlation. Got to be.
All right. Well,
he was also part-time sheriff, apparently.
Let's talk about part-time sheriff Dante Fowler. The Rams traded a 2019 third-round pick and a 2020 fifth-round pick to the Jags for Dante Fowler.
This is another team I hate. I fucking hate the Rams.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I love watching their offense, but I hate that they have just keep amassing all these people, all these players.
Super team.
They're like, oh, you know, we don't really have a great outside pass rush now that Robert Quinn's gone. Oh, might as well just trade for Dante Fowler.
Yeah.
Okay. Go fuck yourselves.
So I read this. I think it might have been Music City Miracles that posted this. I can't remember. But now the Rams will have a first round pick on all four of their defensive linemen will be a first round pick.
Fuck them.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Insane.
The Rams are very good.
The best thing about the Rams. Best thing about the Rams, though, is that Marcus Peters has not been good. Their pass defense has been very, very bad. But, you know, that also means that you got to hope that you can stall Aaron Donald for 3 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can get a pass off, their pass defense is susceptible.
So,
fuck.
A third round pick for a guy who.
A third and a fifth, right?
A third and a fifth. You're right. Sorry. A third and a fifth for a guy who wasn't playing that many snaps because they're already
The Jaguars got the good end of the deal, but they lack depth now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, their defense really hasn't been that great. I mean, to be honest with you, it's not been the dominant defense that it was last year.
Who could have foreseen that?
Yeah. Not this podcast. Not this podcast.
Go back and listen to our Jags pod.
Yeah, Jags are trash.
Yeah.
You're trash.
But then you look at it like, what are they going to do with the third and fifth round pick? Get two more Tanner Lees? I mean, at some point.
Is that allowed?
I don't know. It depends on how many are in the Lee family. but, I mean, they didn't have a great draft last year. I mean, has Taven Bryan done anything? And then didn't they get an offensive guard or something that they were all bragging about and stroking each other off with?
Norwell.
Yeah, Andrew but didn't Norwell. They get draft one too? Or am I thinking of something?
They drafted DJ Chark.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Did you see him drop a wide open pass in London? I'm sure, bro. I was thinking about you when I saw that. I was like, I bet Zach is just like clicking his fingers together, like evilly laughing right now.
I mean, at Parker Jones 32 will not respond to any of my tech. And all I
don't know why.
All I do is send an article or a stat about how bad the Jaguars are and say, you up?
Yeah. You call him bud.
Yeah, sometimes.
He likes it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get to our last trade that we're going to talk about. The Redskins traded a fourth round pick to the Packers for Clinton Dix.
LOL. This defense is so good. Can we talk about this Redskins defense real quick?
Real good.
They
the reason they're successful.
The Panthers with Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, and Ezekiel Elliott 3 weeks in a row. Combined, those guys didn't even get 100 yards rushing.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's nuts.
That's crazy.
And now they got Clinton Dix for a fourth, which is a pretty good deal for the Redskins.
Yeah.
And he's coming
that's
over.
That's one Demaryius Thomas, apparently.
Yeah. And I'm thinking this defense just got better.
Yeah.
And their offense is kind of wonky. Yeah. I think that's a good way to describe.
That might be the perfect way to describe the Washington offense.
But the defense is playing out of its mind, and I mean, I think that's a good deal for them.
Yeah,
I mean, it's basically a defensive football team at this point because you've got a good defense and Adrian Peterson, who they're giving like 30 carries a game
and
to.
He looks
good. Amazing.
He does look amazing.
Of course,
like,
he did just play a snacksless New York Giants defense. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, but for the whole year, he's looked very good.
Yeah.
The you know, the Redskins was kind of like we were kind of on the cusp of on our NFC East show saying that the Redskins may win this division.
Yeah.
The Eagles trade, obviously, I think Eagles are the front runners. My Giants did fucking. Fuck all. I mean, Eli Manning should retire now.
Yes.
But, you know, we'll get to that later, maybe. Yes.
Well, let's talk about how it's a bad time to be a head coach in Cleveland. Tyronn Lue, the basketball coach, got fired for the Cavs. And then Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley, the head coach and offensive coordinator, respectively, both got fired.
They could have done all this in the offseason.
Yeah.
It's like they're surprised that he's bad.
Yeah. Both Cleveland organizations are surprised that Hugh Jackson, who now has averaged one win over 3 years.
Yikes, and that's a bad stat. 3-36-1.
Yeah.
3-36-1.
If I only got three like questions or whatever tasks at work out of 36 right. I wouldn't be at my job.
He was 0-20 on the road as a Browns coach.
And then, that's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yes. Did not win a single road game as Browns coach over 2.5 years.
Oh, then
they
you
might
think.
Might as well not even travel. Just save the money.
Just say, we're just going to stay home. Y'all take the win.
And then you have Tyronn. Is it Tyronn Lue?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Without. LeBron James, yes. And you're surprised your team sucks?
People thought he was bad when LeBron was there. Yeah. So, like...
Cause he was.
Like, this is... like, these owners, I just don't get it.
What's wrong with Cleveland?
You're bad. And
Cleveland's
and,
got a rough ownership situation.
I'm going to send in my application for some head coaching jobs in Cleveland because apparently you don't really have to be good to get them. I mean,
you can go 3 years and not win on the road.
And then they go and hire Greg Williams.
Yeah.
I hate Greg... And
oh, that's going to be a
bounty gate.
A Cleveland fan said today he's going to get those players in line and really discipline these players.
Okay.
What is he going to do? An internal bounty gate where they just he puts bounties on his own players?
Watch Hard Knocks and tell me that any player in that locker room takes Greg Williams seriously.
Right.
I mean, I have 7 job offers, but I chose this one.
Okay.
Bullshit, Greg.
Yeah. Sure you did.
You'd pick Cleveland, really. Tell me why.
Yeah. Nobody picks Cleveland, Greg.
Let me tell you, Twitter was in its finest form when this all went down.
Ugh.
Because the stuff about, people were talking about Jeff Fisher, mm-hmm. let's hire him. People were talking about, then when Greg Williams got hired, they're hoping that he would still hire Jeff Fisher. But then there's all the memes where he's like pointing to his balls and saying these were his assistant coaches and all this stuff.
So me and Lebowski were talking, and we have a conspiracy theory about Greg Williams. We think that He is awful to his children and wife.
Yeah.
Like, this is obviously just speculation. Like, he just treats them like football
players.
Except
for Blake.
He treats them like football players and yells at them. But he has, like, three Pomeranians that he, like, adores and takes care of and treats better than he treats his family.
The only things that he's nice to in the entire world. I'd buy it. Let's mention that we really missed out on a big opportunity to get Bob Wiley a head coaching job.
Yeah, that's really upset. That's poor decision making on Jimmy Haslam's
part. He could have done like a pregame magic trick every single game.
I mean, can you imagine him trying to throw the challenge flag or like calling a timeout and his stomach's bouncing up and down like timeout, timeout.
He's yelling at the ref and all you see, the ref's just laughing at him.
You could dress him up as Santa Claus when it gets close to Christmas. Oh, I mean, it would be just wonderful on many levels.
A missed opportunity for sure.
Yes.
So just real quickly, who do you think their head coaching candidates will be?
Not Sean McVay. Like, Vegas gave like the best odds for Sean McVay. Yeah. So
that's
fucking
insane.
Stupid. The desert knows nothing.
Now, I mean, that would certainly be a trade scenario. What would you have to trade? What would you have to get in a trade if you were the Rams to give up Sean McVay?
It would be multiple first round picks. It would be a minimum of three.
And it would, I think it'd have to be a couple second round picks too. I mean,
yeah.
I think it'd have to be that a couple. I don't know. I don't know what the Browns have that the Rams would want.
The
Rams are a perfect team.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
yeah. What are you gonna get? Like, what are you gonna get that's better than what's there already? Yeah.
And people are trying to throw Matt LaFleur's hat in the ring and all this stuff. Yeah. Like, nobody's looking at our offense saying, yeah, I want that.
Yeah. If they're going, I want that
Titans offense on the Browns.
If they're going to coordinator, they're going Filippo or Dave Filippo.
Yeah. Urban Meyer's supposedly got a cyst on his brain or something as of today. I wonder if he's not gearing up to take over that Cleveland job.
Yeah, he's got his annual, or I guess, every 5 years or whatever, he's suddenly got a mystery ailment that forces him to take a new job that, you know, that'll be interesting.
Now that this one's crashing and burning, he's gonna... Oops.
Yeah, I don't know. If I was the Browns, I would probably go get DeFilippo. But I was a big Flip fan when the Titans were looking for a coach. So, I don't know who else would be out there.
I saw Lincoln Riley mentioned.
I don't think he's going to leave.
I wouldn't leave for the Browns.
Well,
not in this shape.
I could see it because of Baker. Because he coached Baker in college. Yeah. And you could see maybe he thinks he can win with Baker. And they do have talent. I mean, it's not like they're just a talentless team.
Yeah, you're right.
I could see it potentially if he wants to do NFL. He may not want to be an NFL coach. Sure. He may just. I mean, Oklahoma can pay him.
I feel like that's too easy of a dot to connect for the NFL. It's too easy for the Browns because they are idiots.
If I'm him though, I'm looking at the history of the Browns and how long these coaches stick around, and saying, yeah, no thanks. I'm gonna stick around and not sully my name.
They got a good team. They just have shitty coaches, and this is why you should have fired Hugh Jackson after he went fucking 0-16.
When how did they not fire Hugh Jackson when they hired a new GM this past offseason, and it was a perfect chance to have a fresh slate?
I don't think since 1999 or since the first year they became a franchise, they've had a general manager and a head coach start the same year together. It's always been one or the other. And this is the sixth time that after the Steelers game, a Browns coach has been fired.
Yeah.
So not only that, but the Steelers haven't had six head coaches since before we were born.
Yeah.
So think about that.
So you're saying it's a tradition.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a tradition unlike any other.
Lose to the Steelers, you get fired.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which dog pound. You're always going to lose to the Steelers.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's move on to Fitzmagic versus Jameis Winston.
I watched
the Eternal Saga.
It was, first off, back to fantasy real quick. Fuck Jameis Winston.
Did you fall for it?
Yeah, I fell for it.
Yeah.
But this is the right move. Jameis was making the most horrific throws to the Bengals.
Those four picks were not the bounce off a helmet and get intercepted types.
These are worse than the four interceptions Marcus threw at the Steelers game.
Oh, easily.
That's probably easily one of the worst performances I've ever seen of a quarterback. And when Fitzmagic was good, he had one bad game, and they were like, okay, let's go to Winston.
I don't even think his bad game was that bad.
It wasn't Fitztragic bad.
Yeah. Because it was the Steelers, after the Steelers game, that they made the switch. And yes, he had some turnovers and some bad turnovers in that game, but he also led that team up and down the field. They ended up having a chance to win that game late.
It's the right move. The team loves Fitzmagic, I think. I think Winston... I thought Winston would possibly get traded by the trade deadline.
Who would trade for
him? I don't
think
anybody was going to trade for him on the back of that.
I don't know. Rookie contract.
Yeah. I mean, but next year is his fifth year, and he jumps up to 20-something million.
Whew.
Yeah, that's a steep price to pay.
Because he's on the same contract that Marcus is, basically.
I don't know what they're going to do with him. I mean, you can't think that he's the future of your franchise.
Cut him loose.
Yeah.
Roll with Fitzmagic as long
and
as
And really,
go.
It's coaching malpractice by Dirk Cutter to ever have put him in when Fitzmagic was on a roll.
Yeah. I mean, I'm personally of the opinion you should have gotten rid of him this offseason.
Yeah.
But yeah, you roll with Ryan Fitzpatrick and you draft somebody.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's what they've got to do. And it'll be interesting to see if anybody gives him a chance. I mean, because how many franchises out there are going to be lining up, even with the – I mean, we've talked about, you know, on the pod previously that quarterback play is a lot better now compared to where it has been. Almost every team has at least a serviceable player or a young guy that they are excited about at the quarterback position. So who is the team that's banging down the door to get Jameis Winston?
Damn, I really couldn't think of anybody. Let me ask you this.
The Raiders?
The Giants would be one.
Raiders, if Gruden loves Jameis and wants to get rid of Carr.
The Jaguars.
Jaguars, yeah.
Let me ask you this. We're all Titans fans. Let's say Jameis goes through the off, he gets cut, doesn't get picked up anywhere. As a backup, would you take a chance on Jameis for Marcus?
Oof,
no,
I wouldn't want him anywhere near this team.
What if Marcus can teach him how to be an angel?
He can't. Jameis is an asshole. Let's be honest. Jameis Winston's an asshole. Yes.
I bet it'd be easier to get Jameis on the podcast than Marcus, though.
Yes. And Jameis is a phony asshole that... I think he would be a locker room issue.
He would start eating W's and people would get uncomfortable.
So you'd rather have Blaine Gabbert than Jameis Winston?
Yes.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, as a backup.
Honestly,
yes.
I disagree, but that's okay.
Well, that's your.
I go for talent. Got to go for the talent.
Yeah.
Even though the Jameis did not have a lot of talent this past Sunday. They were awful. Did you watch any of them, Keith?
No.
Oh, no. You got to go back and watch the lowlights.
Oh, I watched a couple of the interceptions, but I didn't see all of them. But yeah, let's move on to other quarterback struggles. The 49ers may start a new guy at QB. I actually don't know who this is. Can someone inform me?
No, we can't.
I actually can.
Nobody knows who this is.
What's his name again?
DB Cooper?
what is his name? Nick Mullins.
Oh, yeah. Southern Miss quarterback.
No, you did auto generate on Madden, and that's the name they spit
possible,
out.
Possible.
Nick Mullins is a fake player.
I think he's a Conference USA Player of the Year.
He's a strong descendant of Chris Mullins, the basketball player.
Is that true?
No, I have no idea.
No, he's Dan Mullins' son, and he didn't go to Mississippi State. He went to Southern Miss.
Oh,
good decision.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to play for my dad. Jesus, if my dad
is that a good thing? Didn't it?
Yeah, we're just fucking lying all over the place. But
he is Conference USA championship.
Oh, yeah.
Or
Player of the Year.
Player of the Year and played at Southern Miss.
Okay. Brett Favre. I don't know.
He's basically Brett Favre. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
same career path.
The really funny thing is, he would get the start over Tom Savage. That's where Tom Savage's career is right now.
Yeah. Well, that's where
but shout out to all the Texans fans that told me he was Dan Marino last year.
Oh my God.
That's a real conversation that was had.
I think we just need to shut off the podcast on that. There's nothing funnier than what you just said.
Yeah, well, I did. I mean, I'm just passing along what Texans fans are really the source of all comedy. So
yeah.
Let's be real.
All right, let's move on to one last QB who's struggling. Kyle LaLetta was arrested on his way to practice after almost hitting police with his car.
What is it with these backup quarterbacks? Like, it's backup quarterbacks gone wild the last couple weeks.
So this is all the Manning clan trying to prevent him from, you know, taking over for Eli.
Oh, are you saying this is a setup?
Yeah, I feel like it's a setup, don't y'all?
Yeah.
The sheriff? Peyton Manning, the sheriff?
Yeah, there's a reason.
You know, he's a good actor. That's what people tell me. He's a great actor.
So I'm pretty sure the sheriff, you know, Peyton, right. He's probably like an honorary sheriff in New Jersey or something like that.
He's been deputized.
And Eli isn't.
Yes. And so like he borrowed a squad car and he was like, hey, I just want to do a ride along for the day or whatever, right? And then like he and Eli have on like fake mustaches and cop outfits.
Uh-huh.
They pull over.
Do you think it was
Loretta.
Eli or do you think it was Cooper?
Cooper's probably Cooper? The wheelman.
Yeah.
He's probably the wheelman. Yeah. And then, but like you've got like, Eli.
Cooper's Farva.
Say it. Car Manning, say it.
Say it. What a liter of cola. Liter's French. Give me some fucking cola. But so, yeah, I think they probably went up to the car when they pulled LaLetta over. You know, Peyton. So, like, Eli's in another car. He's in the squad car that LaLetta, quote unquote, almost hits, but he really pulled out in front of him.
Okay.
And then Peyton and Cooper are following. They pull him over, and then Cooper and Peyton go into the repeater routine.
Yeah.
Disorient LaLetta.
Yes.
Make him feel like he might be drunk, and then they take him downtown in the paddy wagon.
That makes sense.
I heard that LaLetta tried to swing at him.
What?
Yeah, I heard he physically attacked him.
Got a windmill.
Crazy.
Him.
Yeah.
Got a windmill him.
The only way.
So does this mean they're gonna have to get Geno Smith, sign him?
I don't know. What do they do?
I don't know.
Play Odell Beckham at quarterback. Fuck it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Peyton looked like moderately healthy.
But yeah, stick Peyton in there. All Manning quarterback
looked
room.
Healthier than Eli.
Hell, sign Cooper.
Yeah.
Why not?
Fuck it, dude.
Get Archie in there. Quarterback's coach.
Okay. All right. You are you're playing in a prison football league. You've got, you've got to win your game. Okay?
Vontaze Burfict.
You're getting ahead of it.
Ray Lewis.
So it's the longest yard scenario.
Okay,
you got to pick one guy to be your quarterback out of the troubled quarterbacks. Do you pick Chad Kelly or do you pick Kyle LaLetta to lead your team?
Chad Kelly.
Oh yeah, Chad Kelly.
Swag Kelly.
Yeah.
He's got the swag. He would lead those prison guys.
That's true. He basically got busted the same way that Adam Sandler did, right? In the longest yard?
Yeah. By wandering into a couple's home? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question. You're playing in a retirement league, football league, and you've got to pick one quarterback out of all the Mannings today.
Who do you pick? Is it contact?
Taryn Manning.
Yeah, it's contact.
Taryn Manning.
Who is Taryn Manning?
Which wife is that?
That's some actress. She plays, she's in Orange is the New Black.
Oh. Yeah. Huh. All right.
I found it funny.
I reluctantly.
It'd have to be Peyton.
I reluctantly go with Eli.
Oh, no.
Actually, no, I take that back. Yeah. I may really regret saying that.
It's,
Peyton.
It's Peyton.
Yeah.
Cooper.
Yeah. Cooper is your quarterback. No. Archie.
No, isn't Cooper like an accountant or something?
Something like that.
Shouldn't one of the Mannings have some offspring that's like old enough to be playing like seventh grade football by now?
I think Peyton just
stick him in there.
No, Peyton,
a seventh grader?
Peyton just fucks football. He doesn't fuck women.
Well, he's probably got a football pregnant though.
Yeah.
That baby's gonna look weird.
Yeah.
Big
forehead.
Let's move on to a Halloween themed segment.
Halloween.
Let's do trick or treat players. It's a segment that Zeebo came up with. So I'll kind of let you.
Man, I wish you wouldn't have said that I came up with it just in case it sucks.
So trick or treat players is if we're going to name a player, and if this player is actually good, you're going to say they're a treat.
Because they've only been good recently.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are. If you think that is a mirage and they're not actually a good player, it is a trick.
Uh,
so I will start with the first player. The first player being David Moore, Trick or Treat. Zeebo.
I'm going treat. What was his stats? I wrote him down.
The last three games, he's had 221 yards and 4 touchdowns. And fun fact, he went to East Central University, which doesn't make sense, but is in Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. What? Oh, yeah. Never mind. That makes sense.
he looks really good.
Say no more.
And he's getting a lot of targets. And with Doug Baldwin, I guess, still struggling with playing through injuries, it looks like David Moore could be in line to get a fair share of targets.
So
I'm going treat.
Treat for Zeebo.
I'm going to say he's a trick.
He's a trick?
He a trick.
Trick.
He a trick.
Why is he a trick?
You
don't buy it?
I just don't buy it. I mean, you know, show me more.
Show me more.
See?
Well, his name's David Moore.
Now you're catching on.
He didn't get it. I got it.
I'm saying he's a trick. I'm saying he's a ding-dong ditch.
Whoa.
Ding-dong ditch. Whoa.
Ding-dong bitch.
Calling guys like ding dongs.
Technically, he's, you know, from a value perspective,
yeah.
Like he was a seventh round pick, so this is all gravy for you. But I don't necessarily think he continues this production.
We'll see.
So we got one treat and two tricks. Let's move on to Marlon Mack, Trick or Treat. Zeebo.
He's a trick.
Whoa.
Because he'll just get injured again. He runs with reckless abandon, as someone put it in I was talking to today.
Is he an upright runner, or is he?
I don't know what it means. Reckless. I didn't really ask for clarification. I took it because it sounded good. I don't know. I think he'll get injured and he'll just disappoint everybody. And I still don't think he's that great of a running back. I just think they have Andrew Luck and a fantastic looking offensive line now.
Yeah. Mike?
I'm going to say treat from the standpoint of, I don't know that he's going to be the greatest back in the world, but I think he could put up numbers in that offense for sure.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it may not take much for him to be a good player for them moving forward.
Yeah, I'll agree. He's a treat, but I think...
I see how this segment's going.
But he's not like a first-rate candy. He's not like a Snickers.
Do you have comparisons?
Yes.
Yeah.
This? That's where this is going.
He's
Smarties. He's like,
yeah,
not your first choice candy, but he's better than no candy.
Smarties is my last choice candy. Smarties is awful.
That's what I'm saying.
It's down. It's down
the,
on the list.
The only thing that's worse is those...
Dots.
No, dots are awesome.
Dots are fucking terrible.
They're so great. No, you know those back in the day, this may only be us 90s kids, but you remember the pink or blue boxes that had the like fake candy cigarettes that were just basically chalk?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, they were the worst. That's the worst Halloween candy.
Were those
candy.
The ones that you're supposed to dip in the sugar or whatever?
No, because they didn't even come with Fun Dip.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the Fun Dip stick like, without the dip.
Oh,
yeah,
that's terrible.
They were awful, but they were supposed to be fake cigarettes. I guess it was supposed to be cool.
Isn't that basically bottle caps?
Yeah, bottle caps are really bad, too.
Yeah. We already
I'm out on, while we're here, Milk Duds. Why do milk duds just want to pull your teeth out?
I gotta be in a mood for a milk dud.
Taste is fine. It's just like the fact that it feels like it's pulling my teeth apart.
Yeah, sour sweet tarts are the which were formerly known as shock tarts are the best.
Yeah,
shock tarts were good in the day.
And now they're called sour sweet tarts, and they're still good.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
I will say that milk duds are like like a 15-minute investment.
Oh, it's like one. Like, I can't talk to anybody for 15
minutes.
Yeah,
it's a commitment. All right.
Have you ever
on.
Tried to put more than... we're not moving on yet. You come back here, host.
Yes.
Have you ever tried to put more than one milk dud in
your
mouth
suicide.
At the time? Yeah.
Yeah. No,
you would
die.
Basically lose 5 teeth.
It's like pouring concrete in your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you feel like your mouth is permanently shut and it's over.
Oh, my teeth are just hurting thinking about it. It's like that scene in American History X where he curb stomps the guy.
No, don't bring that up. That is such an
upsetting
scene.
It hurts your teeth every time you think about it.
Just
like
milk
duds.
Milk duds, yeah.
That should be their new slogan, milk duds. Like that scene from American History X.
Yep.
That's why we're branding experts.
Yes.
Hit us up at fwordspot@gmail.com.
Yeah,
branders.
We got a lot more ideas where that came from.
Lamar Miller, Trick or Treat. We'll start with Big Mike this time.
I think he's a trick. He is what he is. I still think Deontay Foreman's going to be the best running back on that team when he gets healthy.
But he's coming off an Achilles. Here's what I think for this year and for going forward, he's a treat.
For fantasy-wise, I think he's a treat right now.
He's a treat.
Yeah, fantasy-wise, I would agree. Yeah. He's a treat.
I think next year he'll be gone. I don't think he'll be on the team, but I think he's a treat. I don't think Deontay Foreman's going to be their answer because how many Achilles running backs coming back from Achilles injuries are ever good?
That's a bad injury.
Yeah. So, tough. I mean, he has the chance, but I think
he's only like 23 or 24.
They'll probably trade for Derrick Henry in the offseason. He'll get like 5,000 yards.
Oh,
so.
God.
Oh, yeah. Don't you put that evil on us.
Yeah.
I'm saying for fantasy, he's a treat. For real football, he's a trick.
He looked pretty good this last week.
He's TPing your yard. It looks innocent until you realize that it's raining tomorrow. And this guy has no quickness, no agility. He's a long speed runner. He doesn't have good vision. He's not big.
He doesn't break tackles.
He doesn't break
tackles. So he knows that it's raining, so he probably threw Fruit Loops in your house. It'll stain the roof.
Yes. He put forks in your front yard and then
snapped them off.
Yeah.
And then you go out to cut the grass, and it's just ting, 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 ting.
It's bad. It's bad news, Bears.
Terrible.
Last guy. Or no, second to last guy.
Did y'all ever do that?
No.
I've never done the forks. You have?
I've done the forks, toilet paper, and the Fruit Loops all in one night.
The Fruit Loops. Now, have you done the like bologna
on the car thing?
On the car?
Oh, yeah. That was kind of weird. I always just ate the bologna when people did it. Well, I always good bologna.
Supposedly, it's supposed to eat like a hole in the paint and like leave a faded spot.
Oh,
right
I've only seen it on the windshield. So I guess people in Alabama don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Bunch of idiots. Oh, we put bologna on the windshield.
Oh man, they're gonna come out here and be like, what's that bologna doing? Wait, what?
All right, Devontae Parker, Trick or Treat, starting with Big Mike again.
I think he's kind of a treat. I think the talent's always been there. Now we'll see if he can be consistent, because that's
I don't know
been
how
issue,
I feel.
But
yeah.
Well, Zeebo, you better figure it out.
Kind of like Reese Cups.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa, 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 yeah. Whoa, whoa.
Now here's the thing. You can get Reese Cups anywhere. Are they really the best?
Yes. No. Definitively.
I thought you were going a different route with like you have to take the packaging off and it's a lot of work.
Well, that too.
Reese's Cups are definitively the best candy you could get.
Oh.
Put me in the camp with a Dory Jackson. Me and Adori,
like, what are y'all gonna do in the camp?
Well, we're gonna eat Reese's, obviously.
Shirtless.
I mean,
at a campfire, just you two.
This is a weird.
Have you no
weird rabbit hole?
Oh, have you ever had s'mores with Reese's cups instead of like regular chocolate? Now that'll blow your mind.
Well, now I have to try it.
Oh, absolutely. We're doing s'mores next pod.
I like it.
This is a weird pod. This is such a weird pod.
But anyway, I just think kind of like, give or take. I don't care if I see Reese pieces or Reese's in my Halloween.
Oh my God.
Well, like, I could do without them.
I get the sentiment.
Yeah.
I pick candy corn.
Candy corn
looks like candy.
Candy corn sucks.
But it's not.
I like it. Yeah. I like that. So we just don't believe. Me and you don't really believe in.
We don't believe in
you
all
don't
that.
Believe in Reese's. No, that's the real problem here.
Well, I just don't think they're that good.
They're amazing.
All right.
Well, that's the worst take you've had on the pod ever.
Even worse than the Giants?
Even worse than the Giants winning the NFC East. This is the Reese's is being bad is the worst.
Hmm. Well, let's move on to our 50% awards brought to you by 51st States and 50 Cent.
That's a weird combination.
We got in trouble last. We had to record the podcast over last time we started talking about 51st States.
It got heated.
Yeah.
Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, yeah. It did. It didn't. My take on it did not go well. I got censored.
So yeah. So we're halfway through the year. So let's pick our award winners for the various NFL awards at the end of the year that are typically given out. So through the first half, who is your MVP? Zeebo.
Okay, so I did Breeze last time.
Yeah.
And things have changed.
Things have changed.
Things have changed. And it's Patrick Mahomes.
Mm.
I compared his stats for the first 8 games with Alex Smith on 2017 last year on just 8 more attempts. So he only has 8 more attempts than what Alex Smith had at this point last year. He has 400 more yards and 10 more touchdowns. And now he has thrown 6 interceptions where Alex Smith had thrown 0, but it doesn't really change the fact that he's an MVP candidate. And they have very similar completion percentage passer ratings at this point, too. He's phenomenal to watch, and he is that MVP. If they had any other quarterback, I am not sure that they would be as explosive. They'd probably still be winning games and be efficient, but I don't know if they're that explosive and exciting to watch.
Yeah, I think I went with Mahomes the first time.
You had Mahomes and Goff.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Mahomes. For the reasons you laid out, I think he's been the player that's elevated his team the most. And yes, they have great weapons and talent around him, but he's making all those weapons and talent work together. I mean, he's the guy that's conducting that show. So I'm going Mahomes.
Yeah, I think I'm going to make it
sweep it.
I'm going to sweep it.
Yeah.
Because, he's out of his mind. He's doing great. Let's move on to the Offensive Player of the Year. We put a little caveat on this. This can't be a quarterback because obviously it would just be Mahomes. But who do you have for your non-QB Offensive Player of the Year, Zeebo?
Everybody but Mike went Kamara last time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Todd Gurley. It's pretty obvious from this last game versus the Packers that he is the MVP of that team. He's on pace for 25 touchdowns, I think, just on the ground. I don't even think that includes receiving touchdowns. And he just takes over a game. If that passing game's not working, he took it over. He is the linchpin of that offense.
Yeah. Mike?
This is partially skewed by my fantasy football team, but I'm going to go Adam Thielen. Because I think you can make a great argument for Gurley.
He did incredible. Last quarter.
Yeah, he's incredible. He hasn't fallen off at all. But Thielen, I think he just needs some recognition for what he's doing. He's got 8 consecutive 100-yard games to start the season. It's never been done before. He's tied Calvin Johnson for the most consecutive 100-yard games at any point in a career, which is unbelievable. I mean, this guy is undrafted, nobody receiver that has turned into the NFL's best receiver through the first half of this year. And it's clearly not a fluke. You can go back to last year and see when he started coming on. He's the real deal. And I mean, he is every single week. I mean, the catch he made against the Saints on that game the other night, when he's jumping over, he's mossing guys, he's running incredible routes. He does it all. And I just think he needs some recognition here.
And it's good that an undrafted free agent or undrafted rookie like him, is getting the recognition he deserves on this top tier podcast.
Yeah, well, I'm glad he is too.
It's very appropriate that an undrafted free agent is only getting recognition on a podcast that, 1,000 people listen to a week.
1,000 million people.
Yeah. I will say that I admire the fact that he's able to pull off yellow gloves, which is a hard look.
I don't feel like it's that hard.
A tough look.
I think I could do it.
I picked Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
He is, 181 more rushing yards than the next best running back. He's got more touchdowns than he knows what to do with.
He knows what to do with them.
He's got,
except for this last one where he's like, fuck your fantasy.
Brutal.
Team.
Yeah. Brutal. I mean, I still won this week, but it's still brutal.
Oh, yeah.
and he even came right out and said it. Fuck your fantasy team. Fuck the spread.
Yeah. He has 5 more touchdowns than the next highest non-QB player, which is insane.
Is that including receivers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. So let's move on to the other side of the ball. Let's go Defensive Player of the Year. We'll start with Mike to change things up.
We're going Defensive Player of the Year. It's got to be Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald has 10 sacks. He's on pace for like 20 plus sacks at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And he just takes over games. I mean, you saw in that, I think the Packers game this weekend, I mean, there's plays where he beats a guard so fast that it's just like, the guy might as well not have even lined up on the snap. Like, yeah, you might as well ridiculous. Have lined up without a guard and just let him straight
it's
rush.
It's amazing that no one can stop this man.
He is unstoppable. Like, and the Rams are only going to make it tougher now that they've got Sue and Fowler and, you know, right. all these other pieces around him. And, you know, freaking, what's the other one's name? Brockers is a good player, too. The Rams have got an unbelievable cast around him, but Donald is just a complete force, and he's been the best defensive player in football for a couple years now, and he should win this award.
And it'll be interesting to see, not only is the Chiefs-Rams game going to be interesting for that, for the purpose of offenses blowing up, but Mitchell Schwartz is having a hell of a year. So it'll be interesting to see how he does with Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Who did you have, Keith?
I also had Aaron Donald.
I also have Aaron Donald.
Oh, yeah? We're sweeping it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just insane. 10 sacks. He's on pace for 20. The record is owned by a Hall of Famer, Michael Strahan.
Yeah.
Who's a defensive end. This guy's doing it at defensive tackle, which is, like, unheard of.
Yeah.
He's just dominating huge, gigantic men every play like it's nothing.
Yep.
It was funny because everybody, or for most part, I was the only one that did not go Khalil Mack last night.
Right,
yeah.
And really, Jarrell Casey, to me, is still a better Defensive Player of the Year candidate than Khalil Mack, because Khalil Mack has done nothing in the last two games.
That's
He's faded. And Casey, and both Casey and...
that's injury.
Yeah.
But.
Casey and Donald have stayed consistent throughout the whole year, but Donald's been playing on another level. And taking the fan glasses off, you just got to give it to him.
Yeah. All right, moving on to Offensive Rookie of the Year. Zeebo, we'll start with you.
Let's start with you, Keith.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What, me? I'm going to say Saquon Barkley. I think that's who I picked earlier. I think that still holds. He's got 7 touchdowns. He's got 519 yards. Dude is probably, in my opinion, top 5, maybe top 3 running back in the league this year. Got to give it to him. Like, Calvin Ridley's been great, but...
Yeah, I'm off the Calvin Ridley train right now.
Yeah.
I almost went Saquon, but I figured everybody's going to be going Saquon, in my opinion. And it's understandable. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to give some love to Philip Lindsay, who deserves to be mentioned in the Offensive Rookie. If he was more involved in the passing game like Saquon was, I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
Then, but just to say something, he's leading all rookies in rushing yards right now with 531, 5.7 yards per carry. He ranks 6th in the NFL in rushing yards.
5.7 yards a carry?
Jeez. Ranks 6th in the NFL in rushing yards behind Gurley, Zeke, Connor, Hunt, and Peterson. They all have 127 carries or more, and he only has 93 carries so far. He's 6 behind them. And really, the Broncos would be dead in the water offensively without him and Sanders. And Freeman, I don't know what they're going to do about Royce Freeman. I mean, they spent a high pick on him, and here comes Philip Lindsay, who's looked like the better running back.
Right.
And I think that he could, at the end of the year, still be in consideration. I think right now Saquon's got it if it ended today. But I think these last few weeks, Philip Lindsay at the halfway point is at least an honorable mention.
Yeah. Mike?
Yeah, I'd say it's really Saquon or Lindsay. You could throw in, if he'd been healthy for more of the season, I think Sonny Michel could have been in the mix. Because I think he's played really well when he's been in there, but he just hadn't been healthy enough to really get over Saquon to me. So I would give it to Saquon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Also, let me say, Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah, that'd be a good
one. Should also be
talked
on the
about.
Fringe here. Yeah.
Yeah. Honorable mention, Kerryon. Carrying on to the Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Hey.
Segways.
Mike Miracles, let's start with you.
Yeah, for Defensive Player of the Year, I'm actually going to go – or Defensive Rookie of the Year, I'm going with Jaire Alexander. He has been the Packers' best cornerback this year, and he's playing out of his mind. He's all over the field. You saw him in the Rams game. he made life miserable on that Rams offense, and that's extremely tough to do, obviously. So
I think you're suffering from recency bias. Because I mean, he destroyed last week.
But he's been good all year. But
yeah, yeah, sure. He's been good from the beginning.
But not only did he destroy, he dominated last week. Yeah. And he actually held Brandin Cooks to 2 catches for 9 yards. And he had 5 passes defended. And those 5 passes defended are most in any game by any NFL player this year. Wow. And tied for most ever by a rookie in one game.
Wow.
And in playing 5 games, he's only allowed 1 touchdown all season and only 17 receptions.
Ridiculous.
I would also, Jair Alexander was obviously my choice, but I would actually also throw out Jesse Bates as a sneaky one, safety for the Bengals. He's been playing awesome.
Yeah, he's up there.
I don't have any of his stats, but you just hear his name every week making plays and highlights.
3 interceptions, and I think he's one of the top safeties on PFF's grading scale, too, but...
Yeah. He's someone to keep an eye on as defensive rookie of the year.
He's the reason that the Bengals were okay with getting rid of George Iloka earlier this season.
Jannard Avery is someone else that should get some mention. A 5th round pick, I think he was, for the Browns out of Memphis, and he's played really, really well, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just people that you hear every week, and these are just a few of the people that you hear.
Yeah. Well, let me also toot our horn that Jair Alexander was our favorite cornerback coming out back in pre-draft days. So.
Yeah.
True. My pick was Bradley Chubb. He's on pace for 14 sacks.
Is he really?
Yes.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's got 7. If he was to continue that pace and get 14, he would have 3 less than the top sack artist from last year. And as a rookie, I think that is impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how many of those came in that Cardinals game, though?
All of them.
I was going to say, felt like a lot of them. But, yeah, he's been good.
Yeah, if you could play the Cardinals every week, you could probably get about 60 sacks.
Could win a lot of defensive awards.
Yes. All right, moving on to Coach of the Year. I'm pretty sure we're all going to have the same answer, but
maybe you'll surprise me.
Oh, I don't know.
Let's start with Mike then.
Yeah.
I'm going McVay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
8-0.
It's all right.
He's the best coach in the NFL. Mm. He does more for his team, I feel like, than any. Like, he does. Obviously, the Rams are talented to some degree, but it's not like we were talking about how great Robert Woods was before he got there, or how great, you know. Cooper Kupp was coming in.
I don't know. A couple of, I think I was on Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, people like
Kupp. I mean, I didn't expect him to be like this.
He
but
was like a mid-round pick.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's a good like third rounder maybe or something like that. But it wasn't like, oh, this guy's going to change the game.
Right.
But and even Gurley was averaging what, you know, we were talking about in the Slack or in the Twitter thread the other day. Gurley averaged like 3.2 yards per carry in 2016 before he got there. McVay has elevated everyone's game, and that's
what
he
did that last year.
Does.
I mean, let's give it to someone new.
Well, I don't believe in the give it to someone new though, because
he's undefeated, dude.
He's undefeated for one, but also give it to someone new is how you end up with like the random weird. Like, there's some good NBA examples of that where like. Wasn't like Karl Malone won it 1 year or something like that?
Yeah, the NBA is awful about it, especially with like the MVP award.
The year Derrick Rose won it over LeBron when LeBron was like at the peak of his powers. Like kind of stuff happens, and it's like we look back on it, and that almost always looks dumb at the. When
I think there's a lot of good coaching candidates out there though that could give McVay for. I don't think it's that easy.
Other good candidates.
Do you have McVay?
I have McVay as well. And it's purely because. All the people who are, you know, contenders for the you know, Coach of the Year award are people who are, you know, doing the same thing. They have the same talent. They have the same.
Not so fast, my friend.
No?
Uh-oh.
Frank Reich is your I think is your Coach of the Year through the halfway point. And he's really turned everything about that team around, and I hate it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate because I really didn't think Frank was going to be that good. I thought he was going to be very overrated. I thought this whole team was going to be overrated. I mean, he's got them playing out of their minds, and he's got the defense turned around so far with Matt Eberflus as their fucking defensive coordinator. The offense is looking phenomenal. I think Andrew Luck in the last four games only been sacked three times. When's the last time we've ever been able to say that about Colts offensive line?
Yeah.
I think with the talent that he's working with, I think Frank's doing a lot with it, and I think he needs some recognition on this podcast that reaches millions.
I think a similar situation would be Jay Gruden needs some love.
No, I don't think so.
No?
I don't see why. Why?
I mean, that Washington team is not great from a talent standpoint, and they have only lost once, right?
I feel like twice.
Twice. Yeah, they're 5-2. They've only lost twice.
Yeah.
They have no business losing.
I'm not really on the Jay Gruden train. I would say that my backup, McVay wasn't even on my list. My backup was Andy.
Wasn't even on the list.
He didn't make the list. I'll send him my regrets when I send out all the other award certificates.
I'm going to write on the certificate that I send him. Yeah. I'm going to write, Zeebo thinks you're a terrible coach. And give him your phone number.
I was going to say Andy Reid.
Yeah,
because I think Andy Reid with Patrick Mahomes, and it's been phenomenal to watch.
Yeah.
Let me also say this on the subject of the Colts real quick. The Colts are the perfect example of, you know, we've complained a lot as Titans fans about, oh, the receivers aren't very good. Look at the Colts receiving core just real quick at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and they have not had T.Y. Hilton for most of the season. He's been in and out with an injury. He hasn't been quite 100%.
Yeah.
So just take a gander at the Colts receiving corps and tell me that Andrew Luck and the coaching staff isn't elevating their level of play. They're playing Zach Pascal, who was on the Titans practice squad last year.
Well, who got a fucking touchdown for them? Like,
some
Milano Alaka Cox or something like that. That's like, pretty close.
Yeah, that is pretty close. It's like Ali Cox or something.
It was
like
definitely
that.
half-inated at the end.
And Cox was a part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, definitely a lot of Cox.
Isn't it always?
But yeah, they've got random guys stepping up and making plays. Yeah. And it's you don't always have to have the best receivers in the world to have a good offense.
Right.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Sup, Ryan Grant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ryan Grant, Zach Pascal. Random other receiver,
Malali
Chester
Cox.
Chester Rogers. I mean, get out of here,
Chester Rogers.
Yeah.
Let's talk about games that we're excited about this week.
What about comeback player?
Oh, all right. Yeah, let's do comeback player. Who do you got?
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck.
And it pains me. Mm. I don't want to talk about him anymore.
Mike,
I'm gonna go with the same answer. And
I almost went JJ Watt, which means
JJ Watt.
Yeah. I badmouthed JJ Watt last time, so let me give him an apology because I know he's listening. That I'm sorry.
Hi, JJ.
Yeah. Hey,
he's doing a lot better than that.
And hi, TJ, the often forgotten.
TJ doesn't listen to this podcast. He only listens to the other one.
Oh, well,
he's a real asshole. Though,
yeah,
you know.
TJ. Didn't want
to
listen.
JJ listens to both.
Let's move on to games we're excited about for this week. We've got Chargers at Seahawks.
I think that'll be a fun game. Are the Chargers going to be? Can they put away the Seahawks? Because Seahawks are feisty as fuck.
Yeah, especially at butts. Seattle.
Yeah, it's a real statement game for what both these teams plan to be going forward. Because Pete Carroll has this team playing out of its mind. He's doing a really good job. I mean, he called for a punt where the guy was purposely going to take a safety, and the punter was just like, yeah, fuck it, I'll run it for 10 yards.
Michael Dixon. Yeah. Michael Dixon, the world's greatest punter ever.
Yes. Did you see his nickname?
What is it?
I don't know if he gave it to himself or other people gave it to him, but they asked him, like, what's your nickname around the locker room? He said, Big Balls Dixon.
No way.
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
100%.
Can we get him an award? Can we just send him a certificate?
Yeah,
we'll give him the Big Balls Award.
Yeah.
Big Balls Award.
I like it. Brett Kern will be jealous, but it's okay.
It's all right. The Colonel will get one, I'm sure, next year.
Melvin Gordon will be back. Is Bosa back this week, or is he back next week?
I think he might be back. They're saying he's getting closer, so I don't know if he'll play this week or not.
What
but
about the Seahawks offensive line that's suddenly good?
Played a lot better. I mean,
it helps when it's Russell Wilson back there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's more than just Russell Wilson. I mean, Russell Wilson's been back there for 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, sure. I think it's probably it's got to be partially coaching, and I think it's part of it. Guys like Jermaine Ifedi and guys like that that struggled early as younger players in their careers, and they're just kind of starting to figure stuff out.
Do y'all ever think of when you hear Jermaine Ifedi like of a pasta?
I think of confetti.
Yeah, I think of a confetti cannon.
Guys are fucking weird.
Yeah. Whatever, dude. Yeah, well.
Didn't even have bunk beds.
You're so hung up on that.
I know. It came
such a weird thing to be hung up on.
Very upset that
it's
we
just
didn't
so
have
weird
bunk
brothers
bed.
Didn't have bunk beds. That's so weird. You know
what? It's separate rooms.
Mm. Yeah. Why would you want a bunk bed?
Bunk beds, let's face it. Bunk beds are accidents waiting to happen.
And neither of us are fitting. Especially that
one. Yeah. I mean, I
didn't know you were born out of the womb at 6'9".
Yeah.
I mean,
facts.
Difficult delivery.
Very long.
Like a horse. Yeah. Like a horse delivery. Let's move on to the Rams at the Saints.
Hi, Mom.
Get this train wreck somewhat back on course.
Who do y'all think is going to win? Like, I'm really interested. Do y'all think the Rams are going to stay undefeated after this game?
I don't. I think the Saints take this one mainly because I think it's in New Orleans. I think the crowd is going to be insane.
Yeah.
I think
they got to travel all the way from L.A. to New Orleans.
Yeah. I think this is the one that they drop. Although,
because they barely won that last game.
They did. And I mean, the Saints just beat the Vikings pretty easily without even having to throw the ball downfield.
Yeah.
Like, they just ran the ball and, you know, created turnovers on defense and beat the Vikings, who are a good team. I think the Saints are going to get them.
Yeah, I think so. I have a feeling that the Saints are going to get them too. And I think it's Drew Brees finally threw his first interception of the season last week. Because if he hadn't thrown that interception, he'd have still been my MVP. But
that one interception.
Sorry, Drew.
Yep.
Shouldn't have done that.
Yep.
You'll get your candidate certificate.
But I think with their susceptible pass defense, that the way Drew Brees just gets the ball out of his hands and Michael Thomas catches everything, it's over. I think it's over. The undefeated streak's over.
Mm.
And then you'll have to rescind Sean McVay's coaching of the year award because he's not undefeated anymore.
How do we go about rescinding that? Do we have to write him a letter?
Yeah. We have to write a letter and send it to the award bureau.
Okay.
So they know that that award, if he goes out and starts bragging about it, is not valid.
Okay. Is the award bureau Huxley?
Yes.
Okay.
He's currently pushing an empty beer can across the room with his tongue.
That's kind of a metaphor for this podcast, isn't it? Yeah, I think the Rams are gonna take it. I think that Aaron Donald's gonna wreak havoc on.
Please don't mess this up, Huxley. Okay, good. Get out.
On Breeze and everything else.
Do you think they go 16-0? The Rams?
No.
No.
I don't.
I mean, who are they losing to if they're not losing on the road to the Saints?
They're gonna drop one to Arizona.
Yeah. It'll be a trap game. Yeah. It'll be a trap game for sure.
It'll be the resting all their starters at the end of the year.
Yeah. Packers at Patriots is the next one.
I think this is a sneaky Packers game. Really? I think they're going to be so pissed at Ty Montgomery. This is a Ty Montgomery hate game.
The Ty Montgomery hate game that he's not even participating in.
I don't know. I think I'm probably leaning Patriots here. Patriots are at home.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're two evenly matched teams. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the Patriots have those weird Gatling guns that are ready to fire whenever they score touchdowns or whatever. Yeah. I do think they're going to win. I will say that seeing videos of disappointed Aaron Rodgers after that Ty Montgomery fumble.
He's going to be coming out with a vengeance. Yeah. That's what I'm banking on Aaron Rodgers more than anything.
Yeah. Let's move on to a wonderful offensive matchup, the Falcons versus the Redskins.
If the Redskins can't move against this Falcons defense, I don't think they're going to be a long-term solution in the NFC East. That being said, I think it'll be a fun game. I mean, you got Gruden versus
Quinn,
and Gruden gets to take the advantage of a defense that basically has Tat McKinley and Vic Beasley, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun game to watch, and it's going to be an offensive game. But the last time I said it was going to be an offensive game when it involved the Redskins, I think they went out and shit the bed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think it was maybe the first was the Buccaneers. I can't remember when it was.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, I'm kind of wondering if they're just going to shit the bed again.
Yeah. Mike?
It's an interesting game. You've got Jay Gruden, an offensive coach that leads a team with a really good defense, and you got Dan Quinn, a defensive coach that leads a team with a really good offense.
It's a bizarro game.
Yeah, so it's like they're perfect inverses of each other, which makes it interesting by itself. I think the Falcons are probably the more desperate team, and I think I tend to pick with great offenses, which not – the Falcons may not be quite a great offense, but they're a very good offense. I tend to pick – a good offense over a good defense, and I'm leaning Falcons on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning Falcons.
I think I am as well. Is this the game that Julio Jones finally breaks the scoreless streak?
No.
No?
No.
I hope not at this point.
Yeah, I want it to continue all season.
He'll be the sole owner of the longest streak if he doesn't score this week.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get to our last segment, which is the Back to the Future Thursday Night Football recap from Wednesday that you're listening to on Friday, presented by Football and Other F Words. And of course, the Thursday Night Football game will be the Raiders, who are 1-6.
Yep.
At the 49ers, who are 1-7.
What a great Thursday night primetime game.
Thrilled.
Are you guys as excited as I am?
Well, at what point does John Gruden get bored and just go up to the booth and start calling the game?
That's pretty good.
That would be outstanding.
All right, minutes on the clock, and we're off. Make your predictions.
All right, so so Nick Mullins comes out and throws for 400 yards against that Raiders defense, steals Jimmy Garoppolo's job. It's going to be it was amazing. They named him the starter for life.
Well,
incredible.
I like that Doug Martin got the single game record with an actual hamster up his butt.
That was impressive.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the part where John Gruden just sat in the middle of the field and started counting his money.
He Scrooge McDucked it. I remember that. I remember when he Scrooge McDucked it. He dived off a diving board at some point.
It was a great money, and he was just counting his $100 bills with his middle fingers just pointed straight at the Raiders box.
And the fact that someone shaved Davis's head, I was very shocked by that.
Yeah.
Well, it's about time they got a barber up in that booth. You know, I mean, anything would be better than the Friar Tuck.
Yeah.
I thought he was rocking.
I thought it was cool that they let Jerry Rice play wide receiver for both teams.
That was a pretty cool thing. Yeah. The best thing, I just feel great for the Bay Area people.
Yeah.
Getting to watch these two teams go at it.
Hey, at least they get to watch it like 3 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever time it is over there.
Well, at least they can go to like a Warriors game afterwards and like wash it out. It's like washing their mouth out with soap before a good dinner or some shit like
that's
that.
True. Well, that's time. But I will say that the only reason that stadium won't be empty is that the Warriors are not playing that night.
Oh, well.
So.
Yeah,
they lucked out.
They should let Steph Curry and Klay Thompson play for the teams and just see what happens.
Yeah, I mean,
they would get more people in the stadium.
They would be better quarterbacks too. I feel
just Harlem Globetrotters, basically.
Yeah. Nick Mullins. Yeah. Will David Carr? Is it David or Derek?
Derek.
I don't know. I don't know what you're referring to.
Or is it Darren?
Darren there's
Carr?
Darren.
Or is it Drake?
Yeah.
Is it Drake? Was it Drake?
Is it Dino Carr?
Or is it Daniel?
Donald Carr.
Donald.
No. I can't remember. It's Darren, I think.
Yeah, it was definitely Darren.
It was Drago Carr.
Drago.
Yeah. Will the car that plays quarterback for the Raiders average more than 5 yards per 5 yards in the air per pass attempt?
This game?
Yes.
Yes.
That's a negative for me, boss.
Oh.
He actually looked pretty good last week. I don't know what his average was, but, I mean, he actually looked competent. which is weird because they got rid of Amari Cooper and
yeah.
so and no Marshawn Lynch back there, and they suddenly
so
actually
powered
look good.
By Jared Cook,
yeah,
and pure force of will,
and Jordy Nelson.
Oh my goodness,
Seth Roberts.
Woo! Get excited.
Yeah, put those names up on the marquee. Yep. You're selling out some games now.
I know we promised to stop making fun of Thursday Night Football earlier this year, but this is primo Thursday Night Football shit.
Yes.
Are they? I wish they would color rush, and it would be be all white and then all gold, whatever that color is. Like mustard gold.
Oh, no, they should do gold versus silver.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that would have made...
The bling bowl.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I might tune in for like 30 seconds of that.
To watch Darren Carr throw a pass.
Yes.
Yeah. Darren Carr versus Nick Mullins.
Gosh.
Thursday Night Football on Fox. How many quarters do we think that Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are going to be able to hide their contempt for this game?
Oh, no. I think they're cracking
half
up.
A quarter?
Oh, my God. Is it them two doing
yes.
it? Oh, my God. It's going to be so bad.
I think you hear audible, like, opening of beers like you hear on this podcast at some point.
I think Troy Aikman may actually start listening to podcasts. This game will be so bad.
How long till we get a Joe Buck one of these?
He goes, I killed myself for a week and a half to come, and this is a vacation for him. He'll probably just say, yeah, Troy, do whatever you want.
It was so, like, whatever.
It's what he did, like, 6 games in 5 days or something.
Like, Troy, I'm going to go jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. You just, you got it from here, bud.
They're just going to replace him with Phil Sims
and a skillet of fucking cobbler.
And Boomer Esiason at some point, and we'll never notice.
Yes. What if they got the Boogermobile from ESPN?
Just blocked the whole game.
And
just blocked the one camera show in the game. They blocked it for everybody.
They put John Gruden in it and then like make him go up and down the sidelines like that.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
I would enjoy it. I would enjoy it a lot.
And make John, I mean, John Gruden's not doing anything coaching this team. So.
No.
This is going to be so bad. And, you know, they had like Jonah Hill on the Thursday Night Football game last week at some point, and
they did.
Yeah, right. Is that halftime? I tuned off. I had a moth in my ear last week during that Thursday Night Football game, so I didn't get to watch it a lot of it.
That's not like a weird saying from Alabama. No, that's no. like a literal thing.
That's,
that
yeah,
happened.
That's something that happened.
I had a moth in my ear.
Classic.
Deep in my ear.
Classic moth ear situation.
That makes me uncomfortable. Well, that'll do it for us. Thanks for listening, efforts. Make sure to visit our sponsors and rate and review us on whatever you're listening on. Follow us on Twitter. At Effords Pod, go ahead and send Mr. Lebowski.
Oh, do we want to do F mail real quick?
Oh yeah, F mail.
I asked for F mail. I feel like it would be rude to just ignore all these people. We can go. Yeah, we can go quick.
Just do what I did last time. I just ignored all the really shitty ones, and I just asked a question for one to everybody.
All right, so we've got. Okay, let's start. All right, so we've got a gentleman named. I think it's Buck.
Buck?
Riesling?
Riesling?
Riesling.
He must get Buck Wild.
Buck Wild.
There's no way that's a real name.
Buck Rising. Actually, our good friend Buck Rising from 102.5 The Game. Can at Mr. Lebowski play tight end? I'll hang up and listen.
I mean, how well do you need him to play tight end?
Like, can he physically go in the game at tight end? Yes.
Yeah. Does he have a tight end? I think I've heard he does.
I mean, I've smacked his.
He's got good calves.
Yeah.
He's got good calves.
Great calves. I mean, not as good as mine. I have beautiful calves. I don't know if y'all know that or not.
He didn't ask about his calves though.
Yeah. Now, Lebowski has the big advantage of the beard. He could just go out there and get like passes tangled up in his beard. Like,
is that what Eric Weddle does?
I think so. Because
his beard is that's too much.
That's how he makes all those interceptions.
Yeah.
Just
I think he could do it.
I think he could play. Yeah.
I think he could block better than he could catch.
He could legally.
He's got small hands. I don't know if he can get. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
It's like a little baby hand.
He's gonna love this part of the podcast. I can already tell.
We love you, buddy. We're gonna go with a soft yes.
Yeah.
The softest of yes.
I can't wait for the next time that Buck and Lebowski hang out, and all Buck can do is look at his small hands.
He's going to be trying to inconspicuously glance at his hands the whole time. Gillum's going to catch him and just be like, what the fuck are you looking at, bro? You looking at these hands? All right, so let's go. Why didn't we trade for Kelvin Benjamin? This comes from at our friend at Rob Greenlaw.
I already knew that was from. Well, I don't understand why we didn't trade him, because, I mean, I'm sure he actually could have been gotten for a seventh.
We did need a backup fullback after getting Fowler.
Yeah.
So.
I was ready for Kelvin in Nashville. I was ready for it.
Oh, I would have. I would have struggled to watch games. Now, did you guys see? I retweeted something from this guy. So they did a from the, I guess, Devin McCourty interception.
Oh, yeah.
Return for a touchdown. He reached the highest speed of any ball carrier this year. At like 22 miles per hour, and they showed the little, basically the GPS locations of all the players on the field by different dots with their number on it. And the funniest part of the whole thing was Kelvin Benjamin's 13. You can see he runs a route into the end zone, and he doesn't even get back into the picture until like McCourty scored. He's literally about 97 yards behind McCourty. It's like
he probably went and grabbed a hot dog somewhere.
Yeah, like, that's what I was expecting. You were going to say he was like already on the bench sitting down.
According to Booger, he probably was stopping by Popeyes to pick up some chicken. So. He said he was what? He said he was a Popeye's biscuit from playing tight end.
Yeah, I thought Booger said that you're supposed to keep Popeyes in your pants, and that way you don't have to leave the field to go get Popeyes.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
All right, we've got.
That's a pee joke.
At Matt Willem 22 asks Brandon Marshall over Cameron Batson. Question mark.
It's like asking if you want to be in a bed of spiders or a bed of moths.
I feel the same way.
Would you rather swim in a pool of shit or swim in a pool of dead bodies?
Are we talking about the linebacker, Brandon Marshall?
No. The washed-up wide receiver, Brandon Marshall.
I'd still prefer to talk about linebacker Brandon Marshall playing wide receiver,
who
I think might be the best possible scenario.
That's the best
there.
Of all three. All right, so bad.
Bad.
Yes, bad.
We feel bad.
All right.
Podcasting.
All right. At Crockett Justin asks, why does Jarrell Casey have so few Pro Bowls and All Pros? I don't know, bud.
Does he?
Well, he's got three Pro Bowls, so that's pretty good. That's not few.
How many? He's All Pro, what, once?
He hasn't made All Pro yet.
You got to be fucking kidding me.
No,
this is the year.
That's ridiculous.
You tell bud, whoever that was, this is the year.
Justin Crockett, this is the year.
Tell him right now.
You heard it from Zeebo first.
Yep. This is the year. All Pro.
Guaranteed. All right, I think that's the last one.
Is that it?
No, wait, there's more. At Texas Sports 1015.
Oh, is this your burner account?
100%.
It is not, in fact, my burner account, but it is a good question. Is J-Rob too devoted to the people he scouted? I just keep thinking about how long it took him to cut Kevin Dodd, now this thing with the wide receivers.
Yes.
So
I think he believes in the spirit of kumbaya and believing in each other.
So I don't think he actually took that long to cut Kevin Dodd, honestly.
No,
he cut
really
him after 2 years, basically, for a second-round draft pick that was a borderline first. So I think cutting him any sooner than that would have been a little bit irresponsible, because you want to give a guy that has shown at least something a little bit of leeway. Yeah. But
do you wish you would have got a seventh-round pick? Like a 2020 seventh round pick for Kevin Dodd, like Ty Montgomery.
Absolutely, yeah. Let me have them seven.
Yeah,
yeah. Please,
we can get more Kalfani Muhammads.
Yeah,
the people demand it.
Okay. All right, Titans fan _42 would like to rant about Chad Withrow of the Midday 180. I've got reasons, lots of them, to support my stance. But I'm not going to share them, or you just have to trust that they're there. Or I may finally share some reasons. One Twitter has called me out for not saying #beef.
That I don't.
Was that a run-on sentence?
That sounds like a guy that needs to call the hotline and leave a voicemail.
Yeah, let's.
I'm gonna reply to him tomorrow.
Please call in to the F Words podline, the F Words hotline. Zach will send you the number, and we would love to get your rant about Withrow.
I have to know, because now I don't know what the question was.
I want to hear the reasons.
The only thing I took away from that is that this guy
doesn't use periods.
Has an issue with Withrow. That was a lot of words for. Something that could be said.
I have a lot of issues with Withrow that I can't get into on Twitter, but you could probably figure him out if you hire a fucking detective to figure out what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave you five riddles.
please leave us five riddles on the hotline.
Yes, actually. If you would call in five times and leave us one clue each about your issues with Withrow.
This is great. I love this. This is like a fun.
It's like
murder
Saul.
Mystery. Yeah.
And we will try. Yeah, we will create a second podcast trying to solve the mystery.
I will tell you this: if you leave the voicemail and I figure out that you've left the voicemail, we'll have Chad Witherow on the show to listen to your voicemail. I will guarantee it.
Yes, we will have an airing of grievances with Withrow. God.
I will guarantee that will happen.
Are we about to turn this podcast into Mari?
Huxley just took something off the
fucking
shelf.
Pen.
All right, well, that'll do it for us, effers. make sure to visit our sponsors. Rate and review us on whatever you're listening on. You can get more of Mike's opinions on all things
Titan.
I wish
this was a video pod.
I'm just trying to soldier through this, you guys. You can get more of Mike's analysis on all things Titans at Music and Miracles.
Those headphones get you every time.
We are football and other efforts, and you've just been up. Down goes Evo.
Hi, I'm Karis Fisher. I want to tell you about another podcast you should check out. It's called Recode Decode. Every week, I talk to tech and media's key players about how they're changing our world. I interview tech executives like Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, political figures like Hillary Clinton, and media personalities like John Carreyrou, who literally wrote the book on Theranos. Once again, the name of the show is Recode Decode, hosted by me, Kara Swisher. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the show. See you there.